Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Kim Ariano, and you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am apologizing right up front to the audience and to my guest here today. I am completely locked into my right brain at the moment. I just got back from attending a women in business meeting where our speaker was Helen Thayer. Have you ever heard of Helen Thayer before?
Who, me?
You, yeah. Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm
telling you.
It's looking at me as you're saying that, but I'm not sure if you're just addressing the audience or not, because you're always looking at me. But, I haven't. But if you were that enthralled.
It was amazing. Yeah,
You're dressed very nice today, so not that you aren't normally dressed very nice. Don't get me wrong. But you look like you're dressed up a bit today. So
I am. That explains why, because every second Wednesday of every month, I am chairing in front of the crowd at the Snoqualmie Valley Women in Business. And we had about 87 women there today and one man. Thank you very much. Actually, Gregory Malcolm, who's with Encompass, he'll be with us, joining us in the next few weeks.
Some people are thinking, ooh, lucky guy. Other people are thinking,
well, especially because we did Zumba today. One of our presentation people did Zumba. So we made him do Zumba. And he was standing kind of in front of the room. So we were pointing and laughing. It was great. He had it. He had a good time. It was all good.
It's not Zumba. It's Zupa I'm thinking of.
You're thinking of the salad place.
Yes.
No. I'm thinking of Zumba.
I don't know what that is either, but it sounds like I got a lot to learn.
It's Latin dancing kind of thing. It's exercise, but you do it to Latin kind of music. And Zumba's great. So we were getting up and doing Zumba, and then we had Helen Thayer. So all that's right brain stuff, right? So Helen Thayer is 74 years old.
She
does more than Zumba. She just got back from walking the Sahara Desert. She's walked the Gobi Desert, and she's walked to the North Pole by herself. When she went to the North Pole, she went with her dog, Charlie. Yes, this woman walks hundreds and thousands of miles with her husband, and they have these experiences out in the desert. And it's just, I was listening to her story, and I completely, utterly, totally forgot where I was. I was just in awe. And boy, she was just absolutely amazing. So she was done speaking. It was time for me to get back up and thank her and that. And I got up. I was absolutely speechless, which, you know, is not my thing. I usually have something always to say. But I just couldn't form logical words. I was just so in awe of this experience. I mean, they almost died. They almost got shot by the Chinese. I mean, we're talking, she's 74 years old. Her husband is 84 years old. And they're just walking, riding camels and living with the indigenous people. And the whole reason why she does this is she takes pictures for National Geographic and then documents her journey. And it's used to teach kids about these different kinds of things. And her stories are just enthralling. So we got a taste of Helen Thayer. In fact, I think I'm going to ask her to be on the show. I think we need for her to tell some stories. Her mother and father used to take her on trips. She's climbed mountains by the age of 9 that none of us ever do in a lifetime. And her parents were friends with Sir Edmund Hillary. And that's who she learned how to climb with. She's from New Zealand. And so her and her husband go all over the world and have these incredible adventures. And so we got to see pictures of her walking through 124 degrees in the Gobi Desert and running out of water because the camel rolled and broke all their water. And I mean, you just are listening to her and just absolutely, the time just goes by so fast. So I'm still in a little bit of this fog. So if I'm not making much sense, I'm going to have you guys jump right in and help me out a little bit with that.
I'm sure you'll be great.
I'm sure it will all be very fine. Speaking of Snoqualmie Valley Women in Business, the Snoqualmie Valley Women in Business Fashion Show is this Sunday. We're making the final preparations for that. It's at TPC, which is the golf course up in Snoqualmie, up on the ridge up there, from 2 to 5 p.m. Tickets are $15. We've got probably about 20 tickets left. There's going to be a venue for 150 people. We've got shopping. We've got desserts. We've got a fashion show. We've got me, of course. I mean, who wouldn't pay $15 just to see me? But anyway, that's this Sunday, April 17th, from 2 to 5 p.m. And if you want tickets or more information, go to svwib.com. Or Mount Si www.seniorcenter.org for tickets. And we're rearing up. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of great deals. So please come join us. And as always, this show is brought to you by Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation, a wealth of experience, and a kind, compassionate attitude from Pearson Law Firm. That is the Pearson Promise. And so without any further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest with us today. Her name is Darcy Oddie. She is with the executive director of an organization called Rite of Passage Journeys. And she has not been on the radio before. And I'm really excited because I keep getting these executive directors that have done it before, you know, done the radio thing before. So it's not nearly as fun for me if they've already done it. So now here's Darcy, and she's going to join us, and we're going to have a great time. So Darcy, how long have you been the executive director of Rite of Passage Journeys?
For the past 6 years.
Interesting. And were you an executive director anywhere before?
No, my background is in outdoor education. Mm-hmm. So I was a participant on one of our programs, on one of the Rite of Passage Journeys programs when I was 13. And that's my original connection with the organization. And then came back and led trips as in my late teens and early 20s. And then went off and worked for some other outdoor organizations. And then came back in 2006 to take the helm.
This is excellent. So tell us about the organization. Then we're going to talk about how you got there.
Yeah. So Rite of Passage Journeys helps people through life transitions. So children into adolescence, adolescents into adulthood, adults through various life transitions, and then adults into elderhood. And our programs are all nature-based. For young people, they're wilderness-based, so involve extensive hiking, backpacking trips, and time camping out. They're about a week to 3 weeks. And they involve sort of working in small groups and community, and then really with the focus on that life transition shift and really supporting that for both the young people or the adults and for their families and communities.
Why is it important for kids, do you think, to go through this type of outdoor? What is the connection between nature and these types of transitions?
So rites of passage have always been connected, have always been sort of focused with people in nature. But particularly in our contemporary culture, we're extremely disconnected from nature. So young people on average spend about 50 hours a week on electronic media of some type, and they spend about 5 minutes a day outside.
And that includes, that's to get to and from the car, right?
Yes. Yeah, basically.
Wow.
And so really having extensive time in the wilderness is really pretty imperative for young people. All the sort of research is showing that young people don't sort of get involved in protecting our wild lands and in environmental efforts because we hear about all the bad things that are happening. They get involved because they have some sort of personal connection with nature. And that's definitely was true for me.
So
that was how I got connected.
So tell us about how you got connected. What's the story there?
Yeah. So when I was 13, my mom came across a program for this 3-week rite of passage program. And I don't know exactly what it was, but there was something about reading that flyer. I was a city kid. I hadn't really spent much time in nature. But I saw this flyer and I thought, you know, I really think that I need to do that. My family didn't have a lot of money, so it was definitely outside of our financial range to make it possible. But I called the program director, a man named Stan Crow, who basically founded the organization, and he said that he would work with me, and if I did some babysitting and I did some house cleaning and I tried to raise some of the money, that Journeys would fund the rest. And so I came when I was 13 and spent 3 weeks in the wilderness.
So this isn't necessarily for kids that are getting into trouble.
So what we say is, you know, a lot of people will ask us, is this program for at-risk youth? And what we say is that from our perspective, all youth are at risk. That when people are going through transition times, that it's really risky business. And a lot of people get lost as they go through those transitions. We get a range of youth, some of whom want to be there, some of whom it's not their first choice. On some level, all youth have to choose to come on our programs. But definitely we've had youth who are getting in some trouble and really are very much challenged making it through their teen years, and other youth that are sort of at the top of their class and performing really well. You know, sort of all young people need these experiences.
Wonderful. Good. Well, we're going to take a little bit of a break because I want to come back. I want to talk about Stan and how he got this founded. And I want a little bit of a taste from you on what it would be like to go through these transitions. And then you said there were different ages. And so I want to talk about the different life stage ages with you and how nature helps us through that. So thank you. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim Arellano. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Darcy Oddie of Rite of Passage Journeys.
Since 1977, Pearson Law Professionals have compassionately guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice for insurance disputes and personal injury claims. Pearson Law has secured justice in civil matters with a network of resources, wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Call 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor, Wednesday afternoons at 5.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Come join the original Adventure Boot Camp for Women in the Pacific Northwest. 7 years and running. See for yourself what it's all about, an experience you don't want to miss. Adventure Boot Camp is a four-week outdoor fitness program that offers fitness instruction, nutritional counseling, and motivational training, packed with fun and energizing activities designed to help you build a strong, fit body and mind. Whether you want to lose unwanted fat to feel fabulous in your clothes, or if you want to boost your metabolism and renew your energy, this program is for you. Now is the time to get started. Class size is limited and fills quickly, so go to eastsidebootcamp.com or call Kimbro at 425-890-5037.
Write it down, shout it loud. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Now, wasn't that fun?
Welcome back. You're listening to Kim Arellano on Walk the Talk with Kim. Hi, Eric.
Hey, I am actually here now.
So we were laughing.
Figured
poor
out
Eric.
The break that we had a technical glitch at the beginning of the show, so my thing wasn't even on.
You know, so I'm going to take some of the brunt of this because I think I'm bringing some mojo. So let me tell you, Mercury is in retrograde. For those of you that don't understand, Mercury, it's not literally going backwards, but in the way that the universe is kind of moving around, Mercury's kind of sitting back there, and then we're moving faster than Mercury is. So it looks like it's going backwards.
Well, and people listening at the beginning of the show, you weren't just talking to yourself.
No, I wasn't. I've been accused of talking to myself before. But yes, you actually were there. But the thing about Mercury going in retrograde, for those of you in the audience, here's your public service, technology glitches. Literally, technology glitches, troubles in communication. Don't sign anything, don't negotiate things now that are, you know, really detrimental. That's what they say anyway, whether you agree with it. But the thing is that when I started the WIB meeting today, none of our technology worked. So it was really important that we start on time because we wanted to get Helen Thayer on and give her the whole hour. And we wound up starting late because all of our computers went down. So we had to handwrite everything. And we had these long lines. We finally got everybody in and glitch after glitch. So you can't be held entirely responsible for that. See, well, I can't stand people feeling bad. I want everybody to be
I appreciate your kind understanding.
Well, that was great. So anyway, there you go. You folks experienced a technological Mercury in retrograde glitch. And so just that's had to happen. So we saved somebody out there from any further embarrassment. So welcome back. And we've got Darcy Audie with us today. And we're talking about an organization called Rite of Passage Journeys. And there are no technological glitches out in nature. So that's probably the pace to be during Mercury in retrograde, don't you think?
Camp stoves.
Oh, that, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, well, you don't want your camp stove to break down.
No. Well, no, not unless you're really good at rubbing sticks together. So you were talking briefly about a gentleman named Stan Crow, and is kind of the one who brought this concept and idea to the Pacific Northwest or expanded on it, but that the organization had been around for a little bit. Can you give us a little bit of history on kind of how it got together and what Stan's role is with the organization before we talk a little bit further about what one would experience on one of these trips?
Yeah, that sounds great. So Rite of Passage Journeys came out of a much larger international NGO called the Institute of Cultural Affairs, mm-hmm. which was doing community development work around the world in the 1950s and 60s. It was mostly Americans and Canadians who really wanted to be in service around the world, sort of in a similar to the Peace Corps model, except with a really strong focus on making themselves available to communities facing, you know, warfare, social unrest, famine, drought, kind of the sort of most suffering communities around the world, and basically saying, we're here to help in any way that we can. Whatever your community needs, what would you like from us? And what they found in these communities around the world was that the communities who had strong, intact rites of passage for their young people were able to come together around the problems that they were facing and find solutions to move forward pretty quickly and pretty effectively. And that the opposite was also true, that if the young people were not initiated into what it meant to be adults in their community, then their traditions broke down, and then they were unable to come to agreement in the face of significant challenges. So this group of people said, well, we need something for our young people. And out of that grew this program, which was called the Sixth Grade Camp, which was for the young people whose parents were working for the Institute of Cultural Affairs. So Stan Crow comes in. That was in 1968. And in, I think, 1981, Stan's daughter.
That's very Earth Day hippie concept at the time, right? Was that kind of a hippie thing, or was it more academic than that?
It was. It actually grew out of a sort of radical group of Lutherans who were really wanting the church to be about service. They felt like that was really important. So it was both sort of spiritual cross religious studies, and at the same time, really with a service component.
So kind of a 1968 version of nailing the proclamation on the Catholic Church door, kind of.
Exactly.
Thing. It's an Earth Day. How fun. Radical group of Lutherans. I don't think I've ever. That's awesome.
Garrison Keillor would really like that.
I like that description. That's awesome. Okay, so I'm sorry, continue.
So Stan Crow's daughter went on the program in the late 70s or early 80s, and he talked about at that time that it was just this one trip for 12-year-old youth that was 6 weeks long, and they went to a different place every year for their rite of passage experience. And Stan's daughter, they went to Machu Picchu, and he tells this story of this six-week journey of this group of, I think, 25 young people, you know, coming of age, coming into their young adulthood, and they're carrying their hearts up all the way to the top, you know, holding them.
Machu Picchu, is that the Aztecs where they would disembowel? Yeah, okay, gotcha. Okay,
so they're carrying their hearts up.
Oh.
And just totally transformative for Stan's daughter. And as he was working with this organization, he said, this is the piece that I want to work on. So he moved out here to Bothell with his wife, Carol Crow, in 1983. And they co-founded what is now the Sangaya co-housing community out in Bothell. And they also started housing rite of passage journeys here. And so since 1983, we've been based out of Bothell.
Interesting. So we talked a little bit about how you got involved, but what was your first journey like?
It was the most significant experience of my life. I mean, that's really the only way to put it. It was incredibly challenging, about 100 miles of backpacking for a Seattle girl, totally wow. new and different, living and working in a community of 9 young people. But the real heart of the program and the real, the most important piece for me was my 24-hour solo vigil. Mm-hmm. So for 12 to 14-year-olds, they spend 24 hours alone. 15 to 18-year-olds, it's 48 hours, and then for adults, 72.
Is anybody watching you, like, from behind a tree or anything like
no,
that?
No, so our mentors are very good, and they're checking up regularly on the young people. But no, my experience of it was that I was completely alone. It was on the coast, on the ocean at Cape Alava, so uh-huh. I had 24 hours by myself, no food, had to keep a fire going the whole time, and had to stay awake the whole time.
Wow.
And, of course, as fate would have it, it poured down rain the whole night. And I hadn't prepared for that. It was really sunny. We'd been camping out before that out in eastern Washington, and so hadn't really gotten used to setting up my tarp. And I just poured down rain, and I was trying to keep my fire going. And then kind of right in the middle of the night, I don't know what time, I didn't have a watch, this raccoon came out on a tree above me and was just staring down with these beady eyes. And I just knew that this raccoon was going to eat me if my fire went out. And so after that, I had to keep it. Exactly.
They have those creepy opposable thumbs.
13-year-old yeah. girl, perfect food. So at that point, I was really hoping my mentors were behind a tree, but no, they weren't.
No, they were watching you through the raccoon.
Exactly.
That's funny. So you said you went to the ocean?
We went to the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so the first portion of the trip was about a 7-day backpacking trip in the Cascades. And then we got in a van, drove out to the peninsula, sort of prepared for this 24 hours, which was really marking the transition into our youthhood, and then set out to do our 24 hours by ourselves.
Interesting. And you started out this journey with, did you say 9 others? So there were 10 of you total?
Yeah, our programs now, I can't quite remember what it was then, permits and that sort of things have changed. But at this point, our programs are up to 9 youth okay. and then 3 adult mentors.
And what is that like to be out in the woods by yourself?
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's for me, it was incredibly empowering. I mean, that night spent by myself, I would come back to, I'd still come back to, if I could do that when I was 13, I could do this now.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, you know, the kind of really hard transitions in my life. Going off to college was another really hard transition. It's like, if I could do that when I was 13, anything is cakewalk.
So the idea is to put the youth in a position where they have to be totally 100% reliant on their own. What else does it teach you?
Yeah, so that's one component. But the other component that's really significant is that it provides ample time for personal reflection and for connection with the natural world on a personal level. One of the key components of our program, we talk about one of our core values as being deepening your relationship with yourself. And that kind of time alone, you both see your strengths, but also really a great opportunity to reflect on, you know, where do I come from? What's my story that's gotten me to this moment? And then who do I want to be going forward? What are the gifts that I want to bring to my community?
Now, does this come up for everybody just naturally, or is this something that they give you to think about when you're out there? Do they give you like, okay, while you're out there, here's what we want you to do? Or do they say, here's your tent and your, or not even that, it doesn't sound like you had a tent. Here's your backpack with your tarp and go forth and be merry. Do you think everybody has similar experiences? If we were to, like Eric and I were to say, okay, here's your tarp. In your 48 hours, do you think that that's a... I'm a psychology student, so that's kind of how I think. Do you think that people naturally go through this process?
Yes, I
all
do.
All of us do.
Okay. So, I mean, I can sort of... Our mentors will definitely provide some things for the participants or our guides, if they're adults, to reflect on some ideas of things that they might choose to do and some context for what they're... what would be effective use of their time out there. But really, the most significant thing is being alone in nature. I mean, when I lead a group of young people, I'll ask them, how much time have you spent, you know, by yourself? Have you spent a night by yourself? and a few hands will go up. And have you spent a night by yourself without it, without TV or without your computer or without even a refrigerator? All the hands come down. And so, I mean, this is just not something that young people have exposure to. And I think that just simply by being out there without any distraction, those sorts of things come up.
What surprised you the most about yourself in this experience when you look back on it?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think I was really surprised by my perseverance. In my group, a number of the young people really had trouble staying out for that night. It was pretty rainy. And there was a moment when one of the mentors came around in the morning, and I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. And at that point, she was like, look, it's sunny, like it's daylight. You've done it.
Yeah.
And just knowing that I could do that, that was a totally new thing for me.
Do you have a special relationship with raccoons now? Are they your totem?
No, I don't have that special of a relationship with raccoons at this point, but they definitely have a special place in my heart, and I am not afraid of them anymore.
Oh, good for you. You should be. They can be vicious, vile little creatures. My dad caught one the other day. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about this just fascinating program, and I want to delve a little bit into the social psychological aspect of it and talk about the different phases, because we talked about, you know, 12, 13, but there's you. We're talking about other milestones, so I want to talk more. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150 Alternative Talk.
Have you heard the phrase, the beatings will continue until morale improves? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Ariano Consulting, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential work workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ariano Consulting, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Whether they're working on an automotive accident case or helping a client injured by a defective product, the Pearsons are passionate about serving their clients. Their successful approach tackles the right issue at the right time with the best tools and expertise available. Clients rave about the Pearson Law Team's savvy abilities to ensure clients' voices are heard and to demystify the legal process and explaining choices and opportunities. Contact them at 800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's P-E-A-R-S-O-N LawFirm.com. Or check out WalkTheTalkWithKim.com for more.
Hey, my name is Craig Goebel.
And I'm Dory Z.
And I'm Rob Gray.
And together, we're the best thing you can do on a Thursday afternoon from 4 to 6. We're talking about leading-edge real estate topics.
Learn the ins, outs, and secrets of the real estate industry.
And why things work and why things don't every week on Real Estate Radio.
We'll tell it to you as it is, straight, honest, and from the cuff.
And where else can you listen to three real estate professionals who are doing this every day? We're in the trenches, putting transactions together and solving problems.
Real Estate Radio.
Tune in every Thursday afternoon, 4 to 6.
Hi, I'm Lauren Archer. I'm a hypnotherapist that helps people change their energy by changing their mind.
And I'm Lorelei Spiegelman, and I am an energy healer who helps people change their mind by changing their energy.
Together, we're the Soul Sirens of Seattle, and we invite you to join us on our show, Inner Spirit Medicine, Mondays at 3, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
To find out more about us, join us at our website at soulsirens.tv.
1150KKNW.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I can't afford the lightning. Thank you for listening. You're back with Kim Ariano on Walk the Talk with Kim on Alternative Talk AM 1150. And we are having a fascinating conversation with Darcy Oddie, the Executive Director of Rite of Passage Journeys. And we were talking about being that wild age of 12 and 13. Holy cow, I can remember being 12 and 13. And what's the next rite of passage? You were saying 18, 19? Is that the...
So we do a program that's actually for 15 to 18-year-olds. Mm-hmm. It's called the Solo Crossing. It's 3 weeks long. That's really about the transition from adolescence into adulthood. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that when people exactly make that transition, that's different for each of us. But that's sort of the age that we work with around
that. And what do you do on that one?
It's similar in structure. There's less family involvement than with the 12 to 13-year-olds. With the 12 to 13-year-olds, we'll spend a sort of whole weekend at the end working with the youth and their families around how the family system is going to shift.
How does that all work? So, you know, my daughter's 9.
Yeah.
And I would like her to go on this opportunity when she turns 12. What can we expect?
What can you expect in terms of?
How does the program work?
So to go back then to the 12 to 14-year-old
Yeah, and then we'll jump forward
okay,
again.
Sounds good. So we do have programs for younger youth, and they're a week long, and they're really introductory programs. Just get out in nature and community and have fun. But then for the 12 to 14-year-olds, the youth and their parents show up. There's quite a bit of ceremony at the beginning, really helping the youth and the families to understand that this is not camp that they're going to, that when the young people come back, they're going to be totally different. We do a whole ribbon cutting ceremony where the youth are actually disconnected from their parents physically, and then the youth are dragged out into the woods by the mentors, who are actually dressed in, you know, masks and cloaks, and that's the last time the parents see them for 3 weeks. And
parents pay for you to abduct their children.
They do, and then we pass around the tissue, and the parents are like, oh my goodness, what?
The passing of the tissue?
Yep.
No.
So then they go off, and I mean, I think it's a real journey for the, it is, I don't think it, it's a real journey for the parents as well. You know, yeah. I'm losing my child. When they come back, they're going to be a different person.
And so, help me understand what the selling feature is of doing this again.
That this happens to people naturally, and no matter what, young people are going to find a way to make that break.
Right.
And we want it to happen in healthy ways and intentional ways, not through drugs and gangs. And
right. And just, I agree. I talk with my clients about this quite a bit, that at the time that their children are being the most difficult is actually when they need them the most, but not in the traditional give me a hug kind of way. That mm-hmm. there is a natural psychological break from there. Has to be. Otherwise, your parents would live in your basement forever. That's healthy for everybody involved. And I think for us parents, that's really difficult because we're not ready to let them go. And I can see how on an emotional, psychological level, they're going to go mm-hmm. one way or another. Even if they're being nice to your face, they're doing something behind you.
Well, and they have to. That's their work. Their developmental work.
And that's hard to accept, especially in this day and age. And it's unfortunately, I think one of the things that we do is we numb our children. We mm-hmm. numb them with, you know, come over here and here's your computer and here's your cell phone and here's your, you know, Xbox and here's your TV and, you know, just stay here kind of thing. And we numb them from this process of having to break free. I really appreciate the idea and the opportunity to have a ceremony, because I don't think we have a lot of ceremonies anymore.
No, or
today.
We do, but they're very much divorced from their meaning and mm-hmm. their real purpose. I mean, we have high school graduations, and we certainly have religious ceremonies, and we have sporting events, which all contain, you know, significant ritual components.
Yes,
but
or
the meaning, right? But the meaning and the values that we really want to be offering to our young people, I think, are often absent.
And do you think that, for example, if I'm daughter, I'm not saying these are issues, but I can see how down the road we're going to have philosophical misunderstandings or communication issues. It doesn't seem to me that parents would necessarily send their kids so that they come back a better kid. I think what I'm hearing you saying is that there's a mutual opportunity for growth and development that's happening here.
Yeah, what my mom said, I was a very headstrong child. And my mom said at one point she realized that she had to be really clear that she wasn't trying to raise a good child, she was trying to raise a good adult. And mm-hmm. I think that's exactly what you're talking about. And that's what we try to do.
And so you're one of these hooded mask men that abduct children.
I'm typically the one that stays back with the parents and calms them down and hands out the tissue.
Oh, that's so sweet. But what kind of training do these people have to have in order to, because that's a mind trip, I can imagine, at some level, to be the one responsible. You know, you're doing it for the love of the child, but there's probably a lot of tension and emotion that comes along with starting these journeys out and helping these kids adapt and adjust. And what kind of training or what kind of experience do these folks have?
So that's why we have such a small mentor to participant ratio, you know, 1 to 3, mm-hmm. Is because they are really intensive programs, and we want to be able to support each of the youth individually. Our mentors are amazing. I mean, they come with a range of life experiences and backgrounds. A lot are teachers or are therapists in private practice or in school systems or that sort of thing. Our work is not therapeutic. Like, we mm-hmm. don't consider that to be what we do, but I think many therapists enjoy this kind of work during their summers. You know, they're typically folks a little older with a little more life experience, somewhere in their 30s to 50s, need a lot of outdoor experience and a lot of outdoor skills, as well as working with youth and working with groups, and then as well as being comfortable leading ritual and ceremony and working one-on-one mentoring.
How much group and peer work is there involved in the program? Because it seems to me you're out with a group. There's that breaking of the parent, but at that age, that's a really intensive peer group dynamic. Mm-hmm. And so now they're all in the same, going through the same boat. Do you think that bonds those kids? Is there a little bit of structure in regards to leadership within the group, or is that not so much of a focus? It's more an individual focus.
No, I mean, 3 weeks or 1 week in the wilderness with a group of people in this intensive way, and the bond is really significant. Yeah. And oftentimes, like, stays for, you know, the rest of people's lives. And so it's very much a community experience. At different points throughout the trip, more or less. At the beginning, it's a lot about the group coming together. We use a ropes course to do that. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle, as they prepare for and then go on their solo vigil, it's pretty much an individual journey. But then, you know, one of the stages of a rite of passage is incorporation when you return. And this is actually the hardest stage, when you try to bring back what you've learned into your community. And their community of youth that they've been on this journey with is sort of the first step in that process, before then they have to bring it back into their family, mm-hmm. back into their school and the wider community.
So you went when you were 13. Mm-hmm. Did you go again in that 15 to 18? Or?
The program was a little different. We didn't offer that program then, but mm-hmm. Really seeing the need for it as the years progressed. And mm-hmm. so, no, then I came back as a intern when I was 18. Mm-hmm. And that was when it really sealed it. When I was able to have that impact on other young people, I was really clear that it was important.
Excellent.
Stuff.
And so what other transitions do you cover?
So we do that 15 to 18. And then adults, you know, one of the deals with being an adult in our world is that we go through all sorts of transitions.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So we find sort of the whole range of about 18 to 60 typically it will come on what is known as our adult wilderness quest. And that program is 9 days with a 72-hour solo vigil component in it. And folks are often coming recently married, thinking about having a child, change of careers, recently divorced, just really feeling like, wow, I am in a time of significant shift and I need to take a break from my daily life and really think about what this means for me and where I want to be going.
I work with a lot of adults that are going through that mm-hmm. change, and we call this the system shift. And now that we are living a lot longer and our lives a lot fuller, I was sitting down thinking, I went through a career change when I was 37, 20 years in one industry, and then, or actually 38, 20 years in one industry, and then shifting now into a completely different career, and then realizing that I have actually more time in my second career than I did in my first. Mm-hmm. And that it nowadays, and I was reading an article also that showed that depression in middle-aged men and women is heightened now because we're hitting and have hit the peak of our careers a lot earlier than we normally did. I think about, I'm Gen X, and so what happened with us is we went into a workforce where there was a lot of requirement for a lot of bodies, and so we went into these high-tech fields. We were paid a lot of money. We moved up very, very quickly, and now we're hitting our late 30s going, you know, where it's in their 60s, we're looking at retirement at that phase. We hit that change in our life in our 30s and 40s, early 40s. And so people are really looking at, okay, so now what am I going to do with the rest of my life? What is my mission? What is my purpose? And that is a very scary time. And the economy now has only accelerated that need to really focus and look back on who you are, where you came from, and take inventory. And I know folks that I work with, I have writers now. I have people that have started a nonprofit myself. You know, I went through the shift to being in a corporate contributor to starting nonprofits. I'm working with and for nonprofit organizations. So it is very, very natural, just like a teenager moving away from their parent. It's very, very natural. And I think what I'm hearing you say and what I'd want to put out there is you don't have to fight it. You know, go take a week and go do a rite of passage and just know that you're going to have that opportunity separate and away from your world to really do some deep thinking about what it is you're supposed to be here for. I can imagine there's people that come out of that just on fire.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I've been thinking about recently is just how quickly our world is changing and what we need to do to respond to the problems that we're facing, both, you know, locally on the community level here in Seattle, but then, you know, nationally and then globally, things are really shifting. And so I think taking that time out, this is a really good opportunity to think, how can I really use my gifts and passions to be of service in the wider community?
I love that stuff. I love this. So we are going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up the rest of this by looking at how you can get involved, different things that we can do with this wonderful program. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. Thank you for listening.
Jerry and Michelle Pearson of the Pearson Law Firm are local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been wronged in our community. If you have a personal injury, automobile accident, property hazard, industrial injury, defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, award-winning Pearson Law Firm can help anywhere in Washington. Contact them today for a free case evaluation at 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473, or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
I'm Rich.
I'm Tim.
Join us on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, your home for motivation with a purpose, every Friday at 10 AM, where we attempt to inspire, motivate, and challenge you to live and work with purpose.
And solving the world's problems.
I don't think so, Tim. Join us Fridays at 10 for Motivation with a Purpose on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I'm going to leave the city, got to get away. I'm going to leave the city, got to get away.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and we're grooving out to the hippie radical Lutheran music of the 1960s. That's just awesome. I've never heard that phrase
canned
before.
Canned heat radical Lutherans?
Well, I mean, when I think of that, I think of flower power. And
all right.
I'm just stuck on this whole radical Lutheran idea of this hippie generation.
I didn't mean to overemphasize that.
I know I'm going to, because I just, I find it very, what is it about that? I find it very all-encompassing, I guess. It's anybody from any kind of background and any kind of financial situation can always take advantage of the opportunity to get out in nature. And it's not a hippie thing. It's not a tree hugger thing. It's not a liberal thing. It's not anything. And that's what's so funny about that phrase, is that It's anything. It could be anything anyway. One of the places that I love to go, just to go sit and veg out, is right here on Mercer Island. There's the Burke Park, Burbank Park. What is the name of that park?
On Mercer Island, it is Burbank. Yeah.
Is it Burbank?
Luther Burbank Park.
Luther Burbank, it is. Mm-hmm. And I go out to the point there, and there's a point at the very, very tip of it where you've got Bellevue on one side and Seattle on the other side, and you're looking right. And the water and the grass and the, it's just has this thing. And so I just kind of sit there and on a nice day and just, you know, drool
Yeah,
out the side.
Park,
it is beautiful there. It's just a place of inspiration. So I certainly see. Then I go out in my backyard and go ride my horse. That's my Zen moment. So I get that whole nature thing. But you're right. There's a lot of people that live in the city that don't ever give themselves a break. And when you think of camping, you know, there's a lot of work involved in that. But not really.
No, not really. And there's lots of places out there, especially in this area, to learn how to do it and to get out there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, beautiful. And so you had mentioned that you went on this trip and you came back and you were inspired and it stuck with you and you went to school. And so what is your background and what's your passion?
Yeah, so my undergraduate education was really focused on anthropology and sociology.
Nice.
I really wanted to understand, like, okay, I had this really amazing experience, but does the research sort of play out in terms of the importance of rites of passage? And there's a lot of really amazing stuff in the field of anthropology, looking at rites of passage cross-culturally, and then sociology, sort of how does it translate here in our culture? That was really fascinating.
Yay! Okay, so let's delve into this a little bit, because I have been known to take this show down that path because, hey, it's my show. I can do whatever I want. So what are some of the successful societies or successful examples from not only an anthropological perspective, but from a social perspective that are kind of integrated in your program? I'm hearing things like Native American has the, where they send somebody off to go live in the wilderness, but that usually was done as a form of punishment, if I remember correctly.
No. I mean, very much every culture throughout history and throughout time and across the globe has always had very intentional rite of passage experiences, with the exception of our culture. This is the first time it's not happened.
And it's not just because the kids were driving them crazy and they just wanted to kick them out of the house for a little while?
Well, it is, because then that's the kids doing their work, right? And so rites of passage have always been about sort of helping young people to learn the values that they need to take their role in the community, and then the community reaffirming those values.
You know, we were talking about sabbatical, or we weren't talking about sabbaticals, but I was thinking of that whole Canterbury Tales, you know, taking a quest, going to the homeland, doing a sabbatical, all of those different types of things, even as adults, that we don't do. This country, we don't take enough vacation time. I mean, even in other different cultures, in Australia and Europe, they even get a month off where they're supposed to go get away and go experience. What do you think that's doing to our society long term, beyond the obvious?
I think that it's keeping us moving forward without understanding what we're moving forward to. I mean, without taking time to listen to what's really needed at this time and what's really needed by us as a community. So we keep moving in directions that we're not choosing consciously and aren't necessarily what we want at all.
Have you done the older shift, that class? Have you done that? Have you done that?
The adult program?
Yeah, the adult program.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sort of at a point in my life where I would never go through a transition time in my life and not take a week out or longer. I mean, I realize that it's an imperative.
How does somebody know? I mean, that's a silly question, but maybe not, because we're so numb. How does somebody know that? I know for me, it's when I ask people, are you stuck? They know they're stuck, but they don't know how they're stuck until we really start to, they're just so numb. But what has to happen, or what are some of the things that people need to start listening to within themselves that says, you know what, you're going through a transition time, you need to go?
I think people do just start to hear the call. You know, we talk about the hero's journey, which is Joseph Campbell's sort of mythological view of the transition that people go through. And the first stage is the call to adventure. You hear the call. And then there's sort of a diverging path. You can either refuse the call, or then you sort of go through what's known as the threshold of ogres. And I think many people continue to refuse the call, and that leads to psychological problems and health problems, or just, I mean, exactly what you're talking about, mm-hmm. that feeling of numbness. Mm-hmm. But for many of us, at some point, we reach a point where we're just not willing to be in that state anymore. We have to respond, not necessarily by spending 9 days in the wilderness. I think that's a great way, but I think that there's lots of ways to sort of take that time out, take that refuge or that sabbatical and say, what do I really want out of my life?
Okay, so you said the path of ogres?
The threshold of ogres.
The threshold of ogres. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Yeah, so in what Joseph Campbell did was he basically looked at myths from around the world, and these myths, and this is really a model of male development, of kind of going out, all the myths of the sort of going off and rescuing the princess or...
Archetypes.
Yeah, thank exactly.
You. Okay, gotcha.
There's that, the first stage is the call to adventure, and as we all know, when we sort of hear a call and make a decision, the first thing we do is we slam up against a wall that makes it really difficult.
Right.
Okay, are you really committed to this? And that's the threshold.
Every movie, every mm-hmm. book, everything has that initial, yeah, it's mm-hmm. a formula kind of thing. And
yeah.
it's what Jung called the collective consciousness. Yeah, it's all connected. And so you're right, we ignore it and we never have the experience, but our brains and our hearts and our right brains are just chugging away going, I need it.
Yep.
But our left brains don't let them do it. How sad. So how does somebody get involved in your organization? I'm assuming they can sign up and they can go, but what if they want more information on how they can help?
Yeah, so the best way to learn more about us is to go to our website, which is www.ropj.org, and you can sort of see our full range of program offerings there. We do have a volunteer work day coming up, sort of getting our base camp ready for the summer, which is on April 23rd.
Okay.
And there's more information about that on our website. But I would encourage folks, I mean, the it's great if folks want to get involved with us or come into a program or tell youth that they know or adults that they know about our program. But for us, we're really trying to make sure that all youth and all adults and all elders across our country have access to meaningful rites of passage. And to me, the way to do that is to start in community and just start to really talk with people about the transitions that they've gone through in their lives and how can we as a community mark our transitions more meaningfully and start to mentor youth, just take kids outside. All youth need adults who all they need to do is just ask them questions and show up and be present.
So you're here on the radio and you've got a community audience right now. So what, somebody who's driving in their car right now, they go, okay, that's great. How do I do that? How do they do that? So somebody who's in a community, do they go to your website and get some ideas on how to start it? Is there a national organization on how to incorporate? Do they need to start reading? What are some of the ways that somebody can get involved about bringing not exactly this experience, but this idea and this concept, because this is so critically important to me. And I know to a lot of people that we become very self-sufficient on our community. It's, you know, tougher times are coming,
mm-hmm.
and we have to know where our resources are internally. So you've got someone who's fired up and inspired. Where do you suggest they go to get more information, or what do they do?
So we have tons of resources on our webpage.
Great.
So going there, we've got a collection of articles. There's links to other programs and organizations, both locally and nationally, sort of in the rite of passage movement, and a lot of ways to get involved. And then also, you know, send us an email and ask us questions, let us know where you're located, and we can sort of help figure out how to get involved.
ropj.org. ROP is in passage, rite of passage journeys.org.
Exactly.
And how are you funded? Are you funded just through granting? Are you funded through private donations? Or?
Most combination of private donations and then the charge for our program. So we do have a very extensive scholarship program that makes our programs possible.
Uh-huh.
But for families that can afford it, there's a cost involved.
Okay, very good. And if somebody wants to donate, they can go to that website as well and they can donate?
We would love it. We're actually in the middle of our scholarship campaign. I just awarded today about $15,000 worth of scholarships.
Excellent.
And it would be great to get a little further in having that money.
And that money goes towards not only at-risk kids, but kids that are in low income that really need this program.
Yeah,
that can
exactly.
provide a program. So it's an investment in our community.
Yeah.
I love it. And I love the fact that I had to ask you to ask for donations. That's awesome. So again, if you want want to donate and help out this organization, it's www.ropj.org. Thank you for listening to Walk the Talk with Kim today. Thank you, Darcy, for coming. I love this stuff. Thank you, Eric, for being on the show with us today. And you have a wonderful week, and we'll talk with you next week.
Up through the stony ground, there's no room.